And we've been talking about that over the last few weeks. And the whole idea is that when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, what if he actually truly meant that? What if that was something he truly, when he said it as a commandment, it wasn't a suggestion, it was something that he was saying, you know what, you should actually do this. And it is a commandment for us to do. And as we've talked about this, we've actually said, you know what, it really comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 27, where he says, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing we need to do is the first major commandment he gives us is to love God with everything that we have. Then the second thing we need to do is to love our neighbor. And that's, again, not a suggestion. And why do we do this? Why should we love our neighbor? You guys remember? Because he said so. My dad's favorite answer, right? Because I said so is what my dad used to always say. And that's exactly why. We do it because Jesus said so. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And the first thing we've said we need to do is actually grasp the love that God has for us. That is a deep love for us. And there is no other outcome than us in turn than loving others. That it starts with us grasping how much Jesus loved us, that he lived that perfect life for you and I that we can't live. He went to the cross and gave himself up there and suffered everything for you and me. And then he rose again, assuring us that we have eternal life. And that is love beyond anything we could ever imagine. And because we understand how much he loved us first, we are then able to love our neighbor. Because it can't do anything but overflow from us. So the idea we've said is that you've already been sent. That when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he actually meant that you have already been sent to the world to do that, to love your neighbor. And where you've been sent is where you are. It's right there in the home and in the neighborhood that you've been placed. That is where God has placed you, that is where God has sent you, and the first place you need to start reaching out with love is to your family and then your neighbors and everyone that's around you, because you've already been sent and it's where you are. Now that also includes your workplace, where you have fun, maybe it's the gym, whatever those other areas might be, but those are where your neighbors are. And one of the key things we said was that faith does not what? Stand still. Faith never stands still. And so with that in mind, we handed out this sort of neighborhood map, if you remember. It's up there on the screen. Imagine it, right? Okay. A nice neighborhood map where your house is at the center and around it are all the other houses in your neighborhood. And we encourage you to actually write down the names of those individuals, and if you couldn't do it, well, okay, then just, you know, get it, find a way to start getting to know those individuals so that you can name them and understand who they are. And one of the key things about that, what? There it is, yes, praise God. Okay, and so one of the key things is to understand that we are neighbors for a reason, that God has placed us there not by coincidence. Okay, but he has placed us there in that home with those neighbors for a purpose. And there is one thing that really hit me when I thought of this. And it's a video I want to show you right now. And that's not it. Do we have the video or not, Nancy? I guess not. It was Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Well, how many of you actually know Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? Yeah, it's one that I thought most people would know. And what I love about the video is it starts out with him walking from out in the neighborhood. What does he do? He walks through his front door. And what is he singing about? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you what? Be my neighbor. Right? This is exactly what we're talking about, is us being neighbors. And Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was all about this idea. If you remember the show, what did he do? He always had people coming into his home, the mailman, right? Who else? Anybody remember? all kinds of different people. I'll just leave it at that. Maya was going to say some. Okay, but he always invited people into his home, and he had connection with them, and he cared for them, and he loved them. And really, that's what this is all about, is it is about us being a good neighbor, and Mr. Rogers saying, "Won't you be my neighbor?" sort of fits it all and ties it all together. See, the scripture reading that we had today that Cheryl read is from Acts chapter 2. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up and pull it out. Please do so. We encourage you to bring your Bibles with you because we are digging into scripture every week. So bring those with you if you can. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible right in front of you. You're welcome to take that out, open it up. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible at all, take that pew Bible home. It's yours today, okay? So Acts chapter 2 is where we're at. It's right after the four Gospels, and you'll find it, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. Now, if you're looking at one of the versions that says the fellowship of believers, and that might be what your version says as well, but anyways, it begins at verse 42, and I want to read it again because I want you to truly understand and hear what this says. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, this whole text is pretty amazing when you think about it. This is an example of the first century church. This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, what does fellowship mean? It's to us being together. They devoted themselves to teaching, to the teaching of the apostles, and also spending time together, making sure that they were in fellowship. And what did they do? They broke bread. They had the Lord's Supper. It also refers to meals together as well. And they had prayers together. But beginning at verse 46 is where I'd really like to look at today. And at verse 46 it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Now think about this. What it says here is, what did they do? They attended church together. And then what did they do? Break bread. They ate together in their homes. That they were together not just in this place, but they were together throughout the community in all of their homes as well. And that's challenging for you and I. And I'll guarantee you this message is going to challenge you a little bit today. Because he is saying here in Scripture, the way the first century church operated was they gathered together in the temple, but they also broke bread, eating and sharing time together in their homes. Also, they said, around the teaching of the apostles and prayer. And they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Because they were out in the community, they started having favor with all the people. And what was the result of that? "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Hallelujah. See, it's amazing when we look at this, that truly by not just sitting in church, but actually by engaging out in our community, in our neighborhoods, that is how we tend to share the gospel and people begin to get to know us. See, the idea that we have to get is that our homes are not ours. They are the gift of God to be used for furthering the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought of your home that way? That your home is not yours. It's actually a gift that God has given you to use to further his kingdom. There are many people in this world and in this community that don't have homes. The fact that we have one is a great gift. And the open doors that we want to have in our home, open doors actually seek the underprivileged. They know that the gospel comes with a house key. that the gospel comes with a house key. That's the title of a book that I've been reading lately by Rosaria Butterfield. And the title is, once again, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And I love the image that it gives us, that our homes are places where the gospel is experienced, seen, and heard. And what we need to do is, instead of closing ourselves off with all of the fences that we have and our garage doors as we pull in and close it up, is we need to start opening the doors to people, the doors to people in our neighborhood. I mean, this is a great book. I encourage you, if you want to read something, I can give you the book to read for a little while. But it really challenges us and hits hard on what the purpose of our lives are and how we use God's gifts for the betterment of his kingdom. See, what we're talking about is radical, ordinary hospitality. That's the term she uses in her book. It's using your Christian home in a daily way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors family of God. It brings glory to God, it serves others, and it lives out the gospel in word and in deed. And when our homes are open and made transparent to the watching world that is all around us, suddenly that is where Christ is seen living it out each and every day, our faith. It's an open and communal ways that they get to experience what the true gospel means. They get to experience our lives as Christians and see that we aren't the scary people they think that we are. And we can invite those who are around us to enter into our homes, experience how we live. We get to know them, they get to know us, and we live life together. See, radical, ordinary hospitality, it has a purpose. And the purpose is to build, focus, deepen, and strengthen the family of God, pointing others to the Bible-believing local church and being earthly and spiritually good to everyone we know. Now, I wish you could see the screen because I had a great image here. But I'll try to describe it to you. What we're talking about is living a life understanding the reality of two kinds of righteousness. The first righteousness is the one that comes from God. You can imagine someone standing here, and I do nothing for my salvation, I do nothing for my righteousness. God is the one who comes down to me through the work of his Spirit and allows me to believe. Praise God, right? There it is, right there, yes. Okay, so God comes down to me and gives me righteousness, because that's the righteousness that is coram Deo with God. But there is also a righteousness that we know in this world, isn't it? That your neighbor could be a great neighbor. That your neighbor may pick up the mail when you're gone, or may watch your house while you're out of town, or may even bring over cookies or something to you while you're at home just to share with you. And they may not be a believer at all, but yet we would call them what? A good neighbor. It's what you hear on the news after a murder happens. Oh, well, he was just such a great guy. We're always shocked by that, right? But you can be a good neighbor without having the righteousness of God. But see, there's even this third line that's down below, that God doesn't come and touch at all to that place. All the unbelievers in this world, they can be great to each other. They can have good realities in them. They can actually be good neighbors and be good in society and do lots of good things all around us. The difference is they just don't know God. And so as we open our homes, we go knowing that we can be good neighbors with anyone, no matter their faith, no matter their life, no matter how they're living or what they believe. See, this is showing respect and reality of your neighbors' lives and their households. Knowing that someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, that they're not going to understand the things we understand. That they're going to live their lives differently than us. And as a neighbor, I respect what they're doing. That doesn't mean I have to accept it, but I can respect how they're living. That we play the role of a safe person in their lives, that hopefully they feel after time that they can actually be someone that they can talk to and share the burdens of their life. that you understand the difference between holiness and goodness, and that you're not afraid to celebrate the goodness of your unbelieving neighbor, and that you don't accuse people of ill will who hold a different theology. See, it's all about us being a good neighbor and accepting them for where they are. Again, it doesn't mean that you accept everything that they do, but what it means is you do love them, you care for them, you know that there is goodness in them, and you celebrate the goodness that is there. You respect everything about them, but then, over time, they get to see what you believe and experience who you are, and hopefully will experience who God truly is. And you allow God to be the one who does the transformation. See, the key thing is that we start somewhere, and that we start today. That's the key, is that we start somewhere and we start today. There is a great app that is out there called the Nextdoor app. I don't know if you guys actually, anybody here have it, okay? The Nextdoor app is a great app. I've got it. And what it does is it lays out your whole neighborhood. And actually what it does is it gives you prayer requests each week for the neighbors that you should be praying for. It also is a great way just to share news with your neighbors and connect with them as well. It lays it out like you see right there. It shows all the people that are in the neighborhood app, and you can actually connect with them. I've had a neighbor down the street that I've connected with looking for some help and counseling that she's nearly not a Christian, but she's saying she wants to contact me now and get some care. That's just three houses down. Okay, that's what being a neighbor can do. And the neighborhood app is actually a very good way to actually get connected to your neighbors. And so as we talk about this, we really want to understand that it truly is the Spirit of God that works, but he can work through different tools that we have as we connect to our neighbors. The other thing I want to highlight is this week is the beginning of 40 Days of Love. 40 Days of Love is what we are doing in the love movement here in the Valley. And the love movement is a connection of the churches of the Valley coming together, trying to work together to get more people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we're beginning the 40 days of love. And the 40 days of love is simply what it sounds like. That we want to start for 40 days being very conscious of loving others. Loving others in any way that you can. We're serving food, as you know, next Saturday to do that. The other way you can do it is by just random acts of kindness to share. Somebody else say it for me. Random acts of kindness. There you go. You say it together with me, that helps. So you just do that when you're out, right? If you're in a fast food restaurant, you pay for the next person, right? Or you're at a car wash, you pay for the person behind you. Something like that. And what we have is we have cards that you can leave just to say, hey, I'm a member at our Savior's and we love you. We love you. You write a little note on it saying, this is just the love of Jesus, just we love you. And just let people know you're there. 40 days of love is what we're talking about, and it ties in very well with us talking about loving where we live. And so hopefully you will take this very seriously as we go through this. And one thing that we're also doing is we're starting what we call home groups. And home groups are basically the idea that we get together just as the first century church, just not here, but we get together in our homes. That we believe that circles are better than rows. You get that? These are rows. What happens in rows? Nobody talks. Circles, people talk, and they get together and they share. And so we want to believe that circles are better than rows, and so what we want to do is get together like you see on the screen, just people getting together in their homes and sharing time together, praying together, eating together, living life together once a week, and that we get to know each other. And as we do that, we invite our neighbors into those home groups as a way to get them connected and then maybe someday get connected to our Saviors. But home groups are basically weekly gatherings with fellowship, with food, with worship and prayer there together, studying of common readings, and then we just serve if we can out in the community. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for 10 leaders to begin this with me. 10 leaders here at Our Saviors to begin home groups as quickly as we can. You'll receive some short training. It's very simple to do, to host these. This, again, is using our homes for what? The furtherment of God's kingdom. It's opening the doors. I would love to start these 10 groups in November, and all of us are invited into these groups. So the key thing that we're striving for is that there's connection points here at Our Savior's that you can connect to, but also we can connect others to. And one is Sunday morning worship, which we're in right now. The second is a home group that we want everybody to be connected to and bring other people to. And the third is our Wednesday night potluck and Bible study, so that we continue to grow in God's word as well. Now, that probably would equal somewhere around 4 or 5 hours during a week. Now, many of us spend 4 or 5 hours doing much other things during the week. This is the investment that we're asking you to invest here at Our Savior's. Now, if you're interested in leading one of these home groups, on October 27th, that's next weekend, at the 11:30, right after the 11:30 service in the fellowship hall, I'll be sharing more information on what that means. And I'll guarantee you, it's not that threatening at all. See, the key thing we have to understand is what Rosaria Butterfield says, is that I love my neighbor because she is mine, not because she loves me back. See, we are called to use all that God gives us for the betterment of his kingdom. And that includes our homes. I'm asking you today to join me in that. Join me in opening our homes to this community right here at Our Savior's, but also through the whole community that is around you as neighbors. Open your homes up so that they may come in and connect. And if you know, most people are dying for connection in our communities. And when you open your home, suddenly people are shocked by it. One thing we're going to do is we're going to have a little barbecue and just invite everybody over to break the ice a little bit. And then put things on people's doors or knock on their doors to invite them to come. And hopefully see what neighbors show up. And then from there, we're going to start inviting people into our homes more and more. Because we believe the home I have is truly a gift of God, and I should be using it for the betterment of his kingdom. As we think about this as well, one thing that I would ask you today is to pray about this as we continue our service, is to pray about the idea of our neighbors are in need all around us. I don't know how many people that are neighbors of our church right here come to me this week looking for help in some way. We always have some that come looking for help that maybe we question whether they really need it. But I'll guarantee you, we had 3 people come this week that were desperate and needed it. So as we take our offering this morning, if you could give a special offering for our neighbors in need and label it that way, it would help out some people that are desperately needing some help in our community. And as we look at loving where we live and loving our neighbors and 40 days of love, I can't think of anything better than to share with them out of the bounty of what God has given us. So as we continue today, we continue with the Lord's Supper. And the great thing about the Lord's Supper is it's a reminder of what God has given us, right? Because what has he given us in the Lord's Supper? He's given us tremendous things. But before we go into the Lord's Supper, God does amazing things through his body and blood right here, because the Spirit transforms our lives. And so what I'd like to do is have Pat come forward and share a little testimony about how God has truly transformed her life and how God continues to work through his body and blood and his Spirit in this world to do just that. So welcome Pat Ford.